You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Find me in your mercy, Lord. Align me till I'm wholly yours. In all the hidden places.
Do you know that you're one of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Hidden Places. I'm Karen Hubbard, your host. And so happy that you're joining us today. We, by faith, believe that there are a lot of faithful listeners. We know that we have some that continually call us and let us know that they're blessed by the program, and we really appreciate each and every one of them. Because, you know, when we're sitting here in the studio, we just see each other, so we don't know who is out there. But, you know, we trust God, and the Lord's going to have who he wants listening. I just wanted to read a portion of Psalm 103, something that came to my heart a little bit earlier. And verse 13 says, "The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Our days on earth are like grass, like wildflowers. We bloom and die. The wind blows and we are gone as though we had never been here. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to the children's children, of those who are faithful to his covenant, of those who obey his commandments." And I guess the reason I'm thinking of that is because I, probably like many of you, have been watching the news concerning the hurricanes, the Hurricane Helene, and the real extensive damage that's been done. And we had Jonathan on Wednesday had spoken with Jamie from Samaritan's Purse, and they're on the ground in Perry, Florida, where there was this devastation that had happened up there. And the Lord just had me to ask her what they needed prayer for, because we want to offer up some prayers for them, for that ministry, and for the volunteers. Specifically, they're looking for volunteers that can go up there. They'll give you a place to sleep. They will give you food. All your meals are provided. You just need to find your way up there, and you know, have your own finances, of course. And they you know, you can go for one day, you can go for a half a day. You'll just have to attend one of their trainings. And if I wasn't working, I would probably be doing this kind of thing. Because, you know, when you sit at home, you know, we're just sitting in the comfort of our chairs watching, you know. And it like we're so detached from what's really happening in people's lives. But we know God is faithful. And so we'll pray for them in a little bit. And also, Samaritan's Purse, they're in five different locations. If you go to their website, samaritanspurse.org, they're on the ground in North Carolina, Florida, and I believe they're in Georgia and a couple of other places. I didn't really look at those exact places, but you can go to their website. And anyway, so again, talking about the Hurricane Helene, you know, with this scripture, you know, our days on earth are like grass, like wildflowers. We bloom and then die, and the wind blows, and it's as if we were never there. I saw an account yesterday of a husband and wife whose home, I guess they lived high up on a hill, you know, near a river, and the ground came out from underneath their home, and they watched as their home just went off. It just disappeared into nowhere.
So
and they're standing up on the hill looking. And I just thought of this scripture that, you know, none of them were expecting this. You know, you hear all the accounts up there of the people that were there. It's like, we had no idea that, you know, it was going to be, you know, these mudslides and the, the rivers overflowing. Yeah, they're just carrying on. Oh, well, you know, hurricanes are for Florida, you know, and Florida's already always prepared. But they were not prepared. And I just see the, you know, we've been hearing that. We know that there's going to be, things are going to increase. Wickedness is going to increase. And also the earth. You know, there are things happening in the earth that maybe haven't happened before. And there's shaking all over the earth. And we have got to be grounded in the Lord. We've have to know him. We've got to be prepared to meet him at any moment. And because we can be taken away, and then it's like as if we were never here. You know, I just... looking at all the footage of, you know, the different areas that were affected and the bridges and, you know, whole communities wiped out. It's, you know, you can't think of it. It's just terrible. And we've got to be prepared with the Lord. And then we've got to help others. The Lord is really encouraging the body to get involved. And I'll just say this one more story. I listened to a lady who, her and her husband, they have a construction company. So I guess they had a gentleman that was one of their friends whose house was destroyed, but it was still there. And so they just said, well, let's go help. I don't remember the guy's name. So they brought their bulldozer or whatever they had, some heavy equipment. So they went there, and they said it was just so overwhelming, you know, the amount of damage. So they just started doing something. And then she goes, you know, I just started thinking to myself, wow, I wish we had such and such. And she said she did not even have that thought finish in her mind, and somebody's walking up and said, hey, do you need a crowbar, you know, do you need a ladder? And it was like the very thing that she was thinking about. So she began to just say that God was just sending the people just miraculously. And in that, she said, but they were Christians that were being sent. They were believers. And when people are, I've been in typhoons. Amazing. We've had our place wiped out in Guam and other storms, places that we've lived. We've been without water and electricity for months. And, you know, so it's like when you're in that position, you're like, you just want somebody to come and make it better for you. So if Christians are the ones showing up, then those are the ones they're going to remember, and that God can demonstrate his love and his goodness through his people. Not that he doesn't do it through unsaved people, because, you know, their help is just as important. But, how we can just really show the love of Christ.
That's what they were saying on Flashpoint last night. They were saying that it's the gospel in action. It's, you don't have to say a word.
That's right.
Just show up and offer your help. Do what you can, and you're demonstrating the gospel. You're demonstrating the love of God.
So they ended up, but she said, I think one of the things she said was they were trying to, you know, push the mud out of the house, and there was just so much of it. And then she just thought to herself, oh, you know, we just need a few more people. And she said 6 people showed up, and they just got it done. So anyway.
Wow.
Praise God.
Praise God. And, you know, I guess the bottom line, help if you can and where you can. You know, I'm not there, but I can support financially, you know, those ministries that are going in there. And I'll just put a little plug in for charitynavigators.org, who has a list of reputable charities that you can give to, and you know that they're going to be using the funds for whatever particular thing. And it, and Samaritan's Purse is at the top of the list as the most reputable ministry to provide disaster assistance. And we know that they're believers, so
yes,
we can support them. Amen. So
Amen.
That's all I wanted to say about the hurricane and stuff. And then, so now I want to get to this. I'm still chuckling about this piece of mail. So our brother Tim, who writes to us faithfully and also sends us books and other materials. So he, like last Friday, I did a replay, a rebroadcast of one of a previous program, because this was the day after Jonathan Kahn and Paul Wilbur were here on Thursday night. And I knew that Jonathan Kahn was going to be here at the station on Friday. So I said, well, I think I'm going to have to put in a backup program because it's going to be noisy and busy and a lot of stuff going on here. And we wouldn't have been able to do a live broadcast. So anyway, so I put the rebroadcast in. So Brother Tim writes, he said, we listened on Friday hoping to hear about the Thursday night meeting with Jonathan Kahn and Paul Wilbur, the get together in Fort Pierce, hosted by the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Jonathan Kahn's prophecy that he spoke of giving, which Jonathan had interviewed him, I think on the 18th of September, and he was talking about that he had a prophetic word. He said, but all we got was a rerun of the five crew members. Oh, well, praise the Lord. So, Brother Tim, that was great. I really chuckled about that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, sorry. So that was like old bread. Think of it, we got, you know, it was in April, it was fresh bread, but in September, it was old.
Right.
So anyway, thank you. And yes. We still continue to pray for Donna and hope that,
yes,
that everything is well with
Amen.
Her.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Wow. Praise God.
All right. So I have... do you have anything right now, Deanne, that you want to?
Oh, I was just, as I was coming in this morning, the Lord's given me some things yesterday and today, but this morning coming in, he reminded me of Matthew 24 and 6. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Mm-hmm. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Mm-hmm. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrow. But we know that the Lord is with us. So all these things that are happening, of course, Isaiah Saldivar, he was saying, you know, of course, we want to pray for peace of Jerusalem, peace of Israel. We want to pray everything that we desire, but sometimes God doesn't answer that prayer because things have to be carried out. Things have to come to pass. Things have to happen, yes, in order for Christ to return. So we are just, like Karen said, rise up, be the church, be the mm-hmm. hands and the feet of Jesus. It's about salvation. It's about showing the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
And as we do this through all the trials and tribulations and disasters and everything going on, people are going to turn to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I, you know, that's what I've been getting for the past couple of days. The difference between praying amiss and praying the will of God. And so very, very important how our posture is in prayer, intercession. You know, are we aligning ourselves to what he is saying? Because if we're praying amiss, our prayers are not going to be answered, guys. Mm-hmm. And there's many people that I have in my life, including family members, that they said, you know, I pray and I pray and I pray. And God does not seem to listen to me. God is not doing what I'm asking. Mm-hmm. And so I don't wish to pray anymore. And the first thing that comes to mind is that we have no idea from that perspective what prayer is really about.
Yes.
And so, you know, I believe that the scripture was very clear that if you're praying amiss and you're praying with the wrong motives, listen, hear me, you're praying from the wrong motives, God is not going to answer those prayers. Mm-hmm. Yes, he's a merciful God. Yes, he wants to, you know, we so pick up these scriptures like they're, you know, like they're popcorn and we really don't even understand the meaning. But even like, you know, God gives me the desires of my heart. It says it. But if your desires are not right, they're vain desires. They're not with the love of God. They're not with the wisdom of God. You're praying amiss. And so that is just the black and white answer as to why maybe your prayers are not being answered. And so maybe kind of backing up and just saying, God, again, the simple basic, teach me how to pray. What is your will? Because I really want to see answer the prayers to answer. I really want to know that this communication we have, these petitions I lift up, these, you know, that they're aligned with you. I want to see them come to pass. So change my heart, clean my heart.
Yes.
And so I still encourage people, pray, yes.
Amen.
But take a moment to ask God. Check your heart. Get aligned with his will. Give him that opportunity to speak to you. And then there's power in praying aligned with his will and with his word.
Yes.
See, his word is the one that does not come back void. His word does not come back. It doesn't say your word, your reasoning, your assumptions, your ways. No. Mm-hmm. And so I'm glad you brought that up from Matthew 24 because it's just, you know, yeah, we have to be praying with the right heart, his heart.
Amen.
And his will.
Well, you know, the saints of old, I remember this growing up in the Pentecostal church when I was very young, 3, 4, 5 years old. They always would say at the end, if the Lord wills, if the Lord wills, if the Lord wills, this will happen, that will happen, I'll go here, I'll go there, if the Lord wills. Well, 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us.
Amen.
So just like Jesus said in the garden, not as I will, but as thy will. Not my will, Father, but thy will be done. That's heavy.
Yeah.
Lena, wasn't it last week? Well, no, because we did rerun last week.
Don't forget.
Maybe the rerun was about that.
No, I didn't listen to it. But no, it was a, you know, that the path is getting narrower. And we've been talking ever since the program started. We've been talking about that intimacy with the Lord and getting on the path. And, you know, are you going to stay with the Lord? Because that path is going to continually get more narrow as time goes on to where it's just you and him on the path and there's nobody else. And you got to let go of all the worries and concerns and people and stuff that you're thinking about. You know, and I saw this prophetic word yesterday from Dave Roberson Ministries that he's talking about the backbone of maturity. You know, the church needs to grow up and become mature because Jesus is coming back for that bride that's without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. You know, and for me, that means fully trusting in him, that our lives are, you know, laid down to him and that we've given up whatever. You know, of course, it's a lifelong thing, but daily is where seeking Him and laying down our lives day by day, then that accumulation, you know, as time goes on. But this says here, the Lord said, it is my doing to separate. It is my will to redirect and to change one's course into a narrower walk with me. I am separating a remnant from the way of the modern day church into the walk of the Spirit, into a dedicated walk with me. Seeking my face is an invitation, but for a remnant, it is a necessity and a way of life in me. Obedience is costly, yet obedience has great rewards from me. The familiar, the habitual, the comfortable, the convenient are shaken up when I'm able to come and redirect one's life into a laser-focused, narrow walk with me. A lifestyle of life in me. That is where the narrow path always leads concerning all things. Mm-hmm. For the great mystery revealed is Christ in you, the hope of glory. But Christ in you must come forward so that the life lived is not yours, but mine in you, lived for me. The luxuries of the world pull many away from me. I'm not opposed to the luxuries. I'm opposed to anything that takes the affections away from being set on me and knowing me very intimately.
Yes. Mm.
Yes, there are family and friends, but life in me is a continual reaching for me that I might bring forward my priorities, my perspectives into these things, not by the ways of religion, not by the ways of the law and legalism, but through the teaching and insights given by my Spirit that come by fellowship, much fellowship with me. Said the generation, the remnant that's being brought forward, must be able to teach each others what is being gleaned from my Spirit about living in me, in devotion, in dedication, through intimacy with me. Yet each generation must reach into their own devotion, their own dedication, their own intimacy to carry on living by Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then there's some more aspects of it. But this is what we've been talking about.
Yes, amen.
I'm not saying it's every man for himself, but yes, it's every man for himself seeking the Lord, find out why God put you here on the earth. That needs to be our priority. When we make that the priority, then everything else in our lives, He will take care of. He will put those things in order. He will, you know, He orders our steps. Mm-hmm. And like Nanette, you were saying, you know, people praying for different things. But when you have that relationship with the Lord, it's like you come to that place where you're like, well, I know He's going to take care of that. He tells you in the Word. It says it right there. And that's what it means, that, you know, we walk by faith and not by sight.
Yes.
And, you know, in the Word, we've got His Word in us. Mm-hmm. I used to think, you know, okay, I'm going to read a scripture, I'm going to memorize it, and I'm going to, you know, believe it and everything, and then wait for it to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's, I don't know, maybe it does, but. Mm-hmm. But why not spend the time with the Lord and enjoy His presence and allow Him to be the teacher, allow Him to be the one to define any given day. Let any given day, you know, we have our plans, you know, the plans and purposes, but He's the one that determines our steps. Amen. So we could save a lot of heartache.
That's right.
By that surrender.
Amen.
And just make it a practice to get quiet. Where is it in scripture? You know, it says by reason of use, you know, you've learned to hear the voice of God. You've learned to trust Him, you know, and it's by doing it, by that trust in Him, then you're able to step out and do a particular thing.
Amen.
Mm.
Amen. Like Nanette said, there's so many that I know as well, family and friends and that have been praying things for a long time and they're not seeing the answers and they're growing weary and starting to have doubt and unbelief. It's like God's not there. He's not listening. He doesn't hear. And we know that that's not true. We know it's not true. And I've been trying to just pray and encourage those around me, and just always, instead of talking so much about the problem and what to do, and it's like, let's just pray. Let's go to prayer. Let's take it to the Lord and let's agree with his word. And we do. Mm-hmm. That's really prevalent right now. God is trying to get us back to praying the word.
Yes.
The word. If you don't pray in tongues, pray in the spirit. We do that. And that's the Holy Spirit praying through us. Pray the word. Mm-hmm. The word works. The word is God's heart. It's straight from his throne. It's straight by his spirit. And this morning, as I was seeking the Lord, he led me to the saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Mm-hmm. And we know that's in Joshua 24. How many of us have been praying for lost family members, you know, for them to be saved, truly saved, not just say, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. No, not flippantly, I'm a Christian, but I love the Lord. I serve the Lord. I want to worship the Lord. I want to honor the Lord. Are they really dedicated to the Lord? Mm-hmm. And our concern should be first and foremost, are they born again? Are they going to heaven? Mm-hmm. If they breathe their last, as Karen said, with all these things going on, mm-hmm. there's no promise for tomorrow. We don't know what's coming.
No.
So Joshua, when I opened up my spiritual warfare Bible, Joshua 24, the title of this chapter is Covenant Renewed at Shechem. So I'm just going to read a couple quick parts of this. Joshua called for all the Israelite tribes at Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, the officials. They all presented themselves before God. And he started telling them, okay, Joshua said to the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel. And God takes them through, remembering, I was with your father Abraham. He had Isaac and Jacob. I sent Moses and Aaron. I struck down Egypt, and I parted the Red Sea. And I'm going real quick through these. Your own eyes saw what I did in Egypt. And then it talks about the Jordan, and he says, but I gave them into your hands, and you inherited their land. And then he talks about Balaam wanting to curse them, and he said, but therefore Balaam blessed you, and I delivered you out of his hand. And it said, you crossed the Jericho and the Jordan, and you came to Jericho. I gave them into your hands. I gave you the land. And then in verse 14, now fear the Lord, Joshua says, fear the Lord and serve him with sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods of your fathers. Serve the Lord. If it is displeasing, and this is the question, if it is displeasing to you to serve the Lord, then you choose today whom you will serve. Mm-hmm. If it should be the gods of your fathers, the gods your fathers served, and the Amorites' land where you are now living, yet as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we forsake the Lord and serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us out and performed all these great signs in our sight and guarded us. And he said, but it's just words. Mm-hmm. He was basically saying, that's just words coming from your mouth. And he said, he's a holy God. He's a jealous God. And he went on again, you've got to renounce. You've got to walk away. Now, we don't have, you know, our gods and all. What are our idols? What are our gods? Where is our time going? How much time do we spend surfing the internet, social media? Mm-hmm. What are we doing? Okay, how much time does God get from our day? How much intimacy, focus, dedicated time does the Lord get in our prayers, our conversations, our worship? So then the people were like, no, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. He says, okay, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. Stretch out your hearts to the Lord God of Israel. Verse 23, the people said to Joshua, it is the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice that we will obey. So that day Joshua made a covenant for the people. And I just, that was a real quick summary. You can read that whole chapter 24. It's awesome. But it's like, we need to recommit and renew our covenant with the Lord God Almighty.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Yeah. That's just, it's interesting because, you know, when we were reading from 1 John 5 originally, you know, about praying his will and praying his word. And there's a little blurb here that's actually talking about not in the same, the main thing is remove those idols. Get rid of the idolatry in your life. And it says right here, it says John's, and this is, you know, the book of 1 John. It says, John's final bit of pastoral advice sounds an alarm against idols, idolatry. If we look carefully at our culture and into our own hearts, we will find we are ultimately concerned about ourselves, our entertainment, mm-hmm. our comforts, and our wallets. Mm. None of these are worthy of our highest devotion.
Amen.
But we put more time, energy, money, and emotion into these than we do into the one true God.
Jesus.
He's speaking to all of us because we all fall short. We all can get better. We all can be better in our devotion.
Yes.
And it says, so John's warning should be heeded. Watch out for the steady impulse to love other things more than God. And that's the bottom line.
Yes.
He's not saying those things are necessarily wrong. Mm-hmm. But what he's saying, man, if it takes the place of your devotion to me, if you love it more than me, if you put it before me, then it's a problem. It's a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
But, you know, with me, with that story, that couple whose house just, you know, dropped.
Wow. Yes, come on.
You know, what's, just think of, you know, if when we watch those things, we're like, well, what am I going to do if that happens to me? Mm-hmm. You know, where is my trust?
Mm-hmm.
Where is my dependence?
Oh, gosh,
you know, am I going to be moaning, oh, well, this is all this wonderful artwork that I had collected, or, you know, my favorite jewelry, or, you know, anything that we've held dear in our lives, it could be taken away in a second. And when I see things like that, I'm like, wow, you know, what if my house, you know, God forbid, if anything happened to my house, what are the things that I'm going to be like running around looking for?
Right.
Other than my husband or the cats, you know, and I think, you know, a birth certificate, marriage certificate, you know, important papers and stuff. You think of that because your license, your driver's license, your credit cards, you know, imagine that all of that gets taken away and that. You know, what is that going to do in your heart?
Yeah.
Yes.
So it should behoove us to lay down the idols, you know, and really let the Lord check our hearts. And,
and you won't know until it happens, let me tell
exactly,
you.
Exactly, yeah.
Because a couple of years ago, or was it? I don't even know. But, you know, the Lord had been taking my family and I, just stripping us from a lot of things, and even things that we hold as tradition and dear to us, and you know, in our celebration of holidays, both holidays and feasts, you know. And so, like, where were we putting really our time and energy and money?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for us, He was making it clear, and this is just for us speaking. I don't want our listeners to think, oh, are you telling me? But for us, as a family, I loved Christmas to the point that I honestly left Jesus out. I mean, I probably had the sticker, Jesus is the reason for the season. You know, all of these things. Mm-hmm. But was he really? Even though I knew, right? Okay, we know what, but... But for our family, he just knows us, right? He just knows, and he knows where it's going to kind of hurt. And he knows, just like that man when he said, hey, I follow these prayers. But I follow the commandments. Now what's next? How can I inherit the kingdom of heaven, right?
And the rich man.
Yeah, the rich man. And, you know, and we already, we talked about this and how hard it was for him to give that up. And so... Guys, I didn't know how much, like, my heart was into the decorating. Once again, I'm not saying decorating is wrong, but how overly consumed I was mm-hmm. with all the traditions mm-hmm. and how much time I spent in that and how much time I spent in the gift giving, which I love. Again, not that they're wrong, but was my devotion really setting even that time of, you know, that holiday? Did the Lord have my true devotion, mm-hmm. you know? And so we had made the decision to just get rid of all that because it was like to a point like, I don't even have room in my attic, but I want to buy more. I want to have more. I want to do more. I want to. And so literally, you know, my husband and I, when he started taking things down in the attic and he was like, you know, give it away or get rid of it. And Karen, that's when I realized, ooh, my heart was in all of these. Like I was consumed. Like these were idols. Honestly, these were things that I treasured more than how about the quietness of the season? How about again being reminded that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
Not necessarily if he was born there, you know, I'm not going there, but you know, it just, you realize it when you start, when you start stripping, when you start sacrificing, you start saying, these things don't have me. You realize how much they do.
Yes.
Amen.
And I had to get rid of it, and I did, and I was crying, trust me. And I was like, oh, I don't want to let go of this. But I did, and there was a reason for it. Not just because of Christmas or anything, but there was just a deeper, he was testing me, he was saying, you recognize that this did have you. Now are you willing to remove it from, you know, taking my devotion? Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing your Christmas story. We'll be right back in a minute.
I'm Mindy Molina, Investment Advisor Rep, Licensed Insurance Agent, and Fiduciary. From protecting your investments to not overpaying in taxes, financial concerns make up a long list of topics, and I can't wait to cover them all. I'll have expert guests, including CPAs and estate attorneys, and bring you insight you can benefit from. Listen in to The Mindy Molina Show every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Revival's in the air. The kingdom of God is here. This is Luann Linneken, the host of Kingdom Recovery. I invite you to join me every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Kingdom Recovery is a live, cutting-edge program where I will be talking about God's saving, healing, and delivering power. Don't miss it. Revival's in the air.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
We are excited. WCNO's Fall Prayer and Share begins this Monday, October 7th at 7 a.m. We depend on you, our listening family, to help us meet our six-month budget. Join us in pursuing God's vision for this ministry. God will work through you.
Okay, we are back. And Annette was talking about how the Lord delivered her from all those Christmas things. No, which it's very liberating. Mm-hmm. And I'll just very quickly say, when I retired from the Navy, we were living in Guam, and the Navy would pay to ship our household goods any place we wanted. So we had we were going to move over to Palau, one of the islands in Micronesia. So they said, okay, we'll ship your stuff there, vehicles and everything. So we had a 3-bedroom house full of furniture and stuff. So we get to Palau, and then we were there for about a year with running a business. And then it came time to leave, and we sold everything that we had except what could fit in the back of my husband's truck. And we moved back to Guam, and it was the most liberating thing ever.
It was.
I mean, we literally, we had 2 rocking chairs. We had 2 of our own rocking chairs, and then a rocking chair from a lady, some Air Force lieutenant, that I was holding it for her. I don't know how that ever happened. But that was the only furniture we had. Then the rest was just our clothes and papers in the truck. So we moved back to Guam, rented a small little place. And so I can tell you, getting rid of stuff is freeing. And then, of course, just recently I have purged stuff I've gathered along the way. Mm-hmm. But, the intent really is to have the Lord have our hearts rather than things.
Yes.
Because as we see with the storms and the hurricanes, it could be gone in a second. And
that's right.
What are you going to do? You can't do anything about it.
So, you don't get it back.
Right. And you have to start over. But with the Lord, when he's your trust, he helps you out, walks you through everything, and keeps you and helps you through it.
Amen.
And you're not
Amen.
Freaking out. And, of course, some people, I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
But I do want us to pray, because the lady from Samaritan's Purse had asked us, Jamie, if we could pray that the Lord would send volunteers and that they would have the finances to go, and that as they're there, that the Lord would protect them. So can you guys want to lift that up? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'll pray about the volunteers. Lord, we just thank you that because we're becoming more and more like you, we know that if we don't go, who will? If we don't go. And so, Lord, I ask to begin to show those that you're calling, the sent ones into North Carolina, to be your light, to be your love, and to do the hard things, and to know that by doing those things, how many are part of that harvest that we've been praying for and expecting, oh God, that they will come to know you and they will give their lives to you. How many? This is an opportunity. And so I just call every single person that if you have the finances and you do have the time, go. It's the most rewarding experience to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to be able to meet someone in their heart need, not just their physical need, but their heart need. We are his ambassadors. Yes. We are the ones that bring his peace and his hope for such a time as this. This is the time. This is the time that many have been praying for. How can we serve you? How can we be your light? This is the way. And so, Lord, move on those hearts, Lord. Just let them know that they can do it through you, through your strength, through your love. And Lord, I speak life to every single person in North Carolina, and I speak hope into them. And I say more miracles, more people coming their way in that moment when they're praying, or in that moment when they say, oh gosh, I would love for someone to be here. Let them receive the knock on the door. Mm-hmm. Let them see the people coming, the people of your light. The people of your light that carry your blood, your name, and are sealed with your Holy Spirit, oh God. This is the time. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, Father. As I was praying for all the victims yesterday, those that have been harmed, been devastated, had such loss and such trauma, Father God, I can't even imagine. You know, sometimes people just like to shut down and not think about it. This is not a time to walk away. This is not a time to shut it out because you can't handle it. You know, I just sat there and wept. I wept for these people, saying, my God, what if that was me, my family? Mm-hmm. We really need to have that compassion of God. Yes. So, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would just pour out your compassionate heart, your love, God. I pray that by your Spirit you would move and woo and capture hearts, Father God, to rise up, to do their part, Father. We all have different parts. Some can go physically and serve and be there. Some can financially give to these ministries. And Father, we pray that the funds are going to ministries that are well proven and trusted, that we know that those monies and that aid for food and all of the humanitarian needs and water and everything, Father, that what they are receiving, that it will go directly to the people in need, that it will not go to fill man's pockets. There'll be no issues there, no secret things, no fraudulent things. And Father, we know that there's been things talked about the governmental agencies that they're not doing the proper thing. They're not giving the help needed. So Lord, encourage your people, your ministries to go and do it, that we wouldn't have to rely on government, whether it be FEMA or TEMA or Red Cross or anyone else. Father God, we need to give to the ministry and to the people of God to do the work of God. And Father, we declare that every need will be met, that your light will burst and shine forth, God, that all things will be revealed, all truth and righteousness will prevail, justice will come forth, that these people will receive, God, all the help, encouragement, support that they need, Father God. They will not feel abandoned. They will not feel forgotten. And don't let this go off the airways. Let it continue to be brought forth across the airways, across the media, local and national, that keep it in front of the people's minds and hearts and faces, that people will continue to be moved and rise up and give and do in Jesus' name.
Yes. And Lord, I just pray that it is the people of God who are seen and visible, that will rise above government entities. Lord, the government's there to provide what they provide, but Lord, let the people of God be seen. Let the love of Jesus, like Deanne was praying, that the compassion of Jesus, the love of Jesus, be seen in all of it, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord. And Father, I just pray even for the protection of all those that are volunteering in all of these different areas.
Yes.
Father, that you would protect all of the volunteers, whether they know you or not, God.
Amen.
Father, that there would be no disasters overtaking them. And Lord, I pray for the people that are missing, Lord God, that they would be found, that whether they are still alive or whether they're gone, Lord. Father, I just pray that you would reveal where they are, Lord. Father, so that the families can have closure.
Yes.
And Father, we just pray that your love and grace would just cover those families who are, they're dealing with a disaster, but they've also have a missing family member.
Oh,
Father, let your peace and your grace be upon them in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
You know, something I noticed about this, you know, remember when Katrina happened, it was 24/7 news coverage for how long?
Mm-hmm.
But this is not getting the cover. It's so weird. It doesn't make sense. Why is this, you know, all of the, Florida, you know, we're hearing about what's going on in Florida. And, you know, we follow the governor on Facebook, and he's, you know, very good about getting information out. But we're not seeing the 24 news coverage. They'll pop something in every once in a while.
No, there's a lot of corrupt stuff going on. I've been reading stuff on prophetic pages and people having dreams and insights by the Lord, what's going on. There's a lot of corruption of the underlying, especially around Asheville and West North Carolina, regarding the lithium underground and how they want this. They want to, they need this, people need this, and they're trying to wipe them out so that they can get the lithium. And there's a lot we can't even imagine. But that's why the Lord will shine forth his light, and he will expose the greed, the corrupt. He will expose what's going on, because God will not abandon his people. God will not abandon his children. He will not. He will be there. He will rescue them. Just like with Hawaii and everything that happened with the fire there. They dropped that story so quick. But there was a lot
It was like a week or two.
Exactly. There was so much greed and corrupt and evil doing going on behind that. It was not natural. But God knows. And God says, vengeance is mine. May I read something real quick, Karen?
Sure.
This was from the Spiritual Warfare Bible as I was in Isaiah 40 this morning. It says, when we awake to the reality of the spiritual battles going on all around us, we immediately realize there are massive assaults being leveled against our loved ones, our communities, our churches, and the nations. We know this is all from the enemy. So the kingdom of darkness assails to render death blows, dismemberment, and or paralysis. But knowing this, we must lift our voice and come in fury and passion to put to shame all the works of the enemy. Okay, we cannot let the plans of the enemy, Satan, have the children of God. We cannot let those plans come to pass. Not today, not on your watch, not ever. So are we being the watchman on the wall? As Nanette was stressing, we must pray. Our prayers do make a difference. Every attack leveled against us and our loved ones opens an opportunity to plunder the enemy's possessions. Last sentence, God has given you, us, the power to shut down every initiative instituted by anyone and everyone who moves by satanic impulse. This is the inheritance of the Lord, which will propel you in fervent determination to battle in prayer. And that's where we battle. We don't battle the flesh and blood. We don't have the ability to, we're not God. We must battle in prayer, fervent, effectual prayer that avails much.
And as you were reading that, Veronica West had posted this word this morning. She said, I'm trembling. I hear the Spirit say, the worm is turning, and the world will see my strength and power made perfect in weakness. So you may ask, what does the worm turning mean? And somebody very wisely looked it up and got this, the definition. Let's see. Where is that? Hold on, I took a picture of it. I have to find where that was. Okay, the worm turning means, okay, the phrase the worm turns is an English idiom that means someone who has been treated badly or oppressed for a long time suddenly becomes forceful and stops accepting a difficult situation.
Praise the Lord.
The idiom suggests that even the most submissive or weak individual will eventually react or retaliate if pushed too far. It has its roots in a 1546 collection of Proverbs by John Hayward, which state, well, you know, it goes into talking about what Shakespeare wrote and all that, but it says, today the worm turns is often used to describe a situation where someone who has been submissive or powerless suddenly gains confidence or takes control. This can be applied to individuals, groups, or even communities that have been marginalized or oppressed, but ultimately rise up against their oppressors. And dare I say, the church is rising up.
Amen.
This is the church is going to rise up. The church is going to be visible. The church is going to be the influence in the world. God is going to see to it, because everything's being exposed. Things are being shaken everywhere in the world. God is shaking.
Amen.
And the church, you know, it's, remember the movie, you know, I'm not going to take it anymore. Whatever that was the line from that movie.
I'm
mad as heck, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
I'm actually thinking about the Hamilton Broadway show that we went to see. And, you know, it's about the American Revolution, you know, all of the things that happened. But there's a song there that they created, and it was saying, "Rise up, rise up." And so when you said that, it was like I was hearing that, like, "Rise up, rise up, church, rise up."
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Volunteer, be visible, do something, speak what the Lord's telling you to speak.
Amen.
Stand, you know, stand against things, and stand against this Amendment 4. Vote no on Amendment 4, and don't let the enemy steal, kill, and destroy more innocent babies.
I don't have time to go into all of this, maybe next week, but the Lord's been giving me Isaiah 40 for 2 weeks now in different ways, and he confirmed it last night through the mouth of another person. So I'm just going to read the very last part of Isaiah 40 and verse 28. Have you not known, have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not faint, nor is he weary? His understanding is inscrutable. He gives power to the faint, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And that's awesome. I looked up the word wait, and I have not pulled my concordance off the shelf for a long time. The Hebrew word wait is kava. It means to bind together. We're not just sitting twirling our fingers waiting for God.
Right.
Bind together by twisting. Expect, gather together, look patiently, tarry, wait. And in the Greek, stay around, await, wait for, wait on, wait upon. That's what we do when we're waiting on the Lord. We're binding with him, tarrying with him, twisting and looking impatiently. And we're expecting. We're expecting. So people, I encourage you, do not grow weary. Stay strong in his power, in his might. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength.
Amen. And, you know, and get ready. I feel like the Lord's going to ramp things up for the church. And we're going to have all these opportunities to be a witness for Christ. And the Lord, I mean, people are, you know, in Matthew 24, said they're going to head for the hills, you know, when they're scared. They're going to be running, but they're going to be looking for people to help them. Mm-hmm. So let the body of Christ rise up and
amen.
Just be great in this hour.
Mm-hmm.
So we got about 30 seconds left. And you have any final thoughts, Nanette?
No, just to, you know, again, we just say stay in prayer.
Yes.
Say steadfast. Steadfast,
yes,
in prayer, in your time with the Lord, in his word, and serving one another. It's just a time to really serve one another. Like you had mentioned, Deanne, you know, like Jesus in action, taking the word, not only knowing it, but living by it and living it. And so this is the time, guys, you know, all this praying, right? All this revival, you know?
Yeah, because there's coming a time when, you know, the reaper will overtake the sower.
Mm-hmm,
and we're entering into that harvest time. So you got to be ready to get that harvest.
All hands on deck.
All hands on deck. Amen.
All right, we got to go. So we will see you next week. Well, actually, we won't, because we have 2 weeks of fundraising. So.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, so did I. But we'll be back after 2 weeks. But you can listen on demand if you want to just hear us, you know, the old programs.
Wow, 2 weeks.
Yep.
Well, we'll miss you.
We'll miss you. Yeah. We love you.
Pray for me. Long days. Join me again next Friday at 11 a.m. as we bring forth more treasures out of the hidden places.